the Purpose Driven Entrepreneur Podcast. We're all about delivering great content, thoughtful discussions, and tips and tricks to help you truly get the most out of your life and business. And here's your charismatic host, me, Matt Browning. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Purpose Driven Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Browning. I'm hanging out here broadcasting out of the Evolution World Headquarters in our tiny little office in Costa Mesa, California. Sitting here with Jeremy Nunez, our producer. What is going on, buddy?
How's it going?
Good. Have a good weekend?
Great weekend.
Yeah, we record these every time on a Monday, so we get to come in. We haven't seen each other for a couple of days. If I sound a little stuffed up, that's because I am a little stuffed up, but that doesn't stop our brains from thinking, you know, and getting into what we're going to do. So, big question on our minds, how are your Dodgers doing?
So they officially clinched as of Friday against the San Francisco Giants, which was an awesome game.
Okay, good.
But this is the fifth time, 5 years in a row that they've clinched, so let's see how far they take it.
Dude, that is awesome for you.
Right.
Not so much for me. We went to the Angels game a few weeks ago. They blew it to Houston. That was not good.
Not good.
0-1. But you were telling me just before we started recording, last week on the podcast, you were so excited they clinched. So what happened?
Yeah, so last week, I hadn't been following it like as I thought I should. And lo and behold, you asked how they were doing, and I said they clinched when they hadn't, you know? So I was just hoping and praying on Friday that they would, and that was the day.
So you were actually foretelling the future, absolutely, is what you're telling me.
Right.
Man.
Just manifesting.
Can you tell me what is going to happen with the Cowboys and make it good? Make it good.
So you might not like what I have to say about the Cowboys. No.
Awesome. So, well, hey, there's not a ton going on in the week right now. We've been having a pretty chill week. Getting ready for one of our live events coming up. We're doing a speaker training in 2 weeks in October, so that's going to be fun. Of course, by the time you hear this, it may have already passed, and that is totally cool. But we're prepping, getting ready for that. Every time we get into live training mode, it's not exactly chaos. It's kind of a peaceful chaos, if that makes sense, right? There's a lot more moving parts in the business to do because we're primarily doing live trainings and events. So I love the season, right? When we're like the week or 2 weeks out from an event, it gets busy. And it's really important to be able to center ourselves. And, you know, what's cool is just even the discipline. This is episode two, but just the discipline of getting to sit down in the studio and getting episodes out and just recording no matter what. The big test is going to be after the event. Because we'll go Thursday, Friday, Saturday all day, right? 12, 14 hours a day. Sunday will be off, resting. And by Monday, the last thing I want to do is come in the office and do work. But this, genuinely, like, I'm excited about. This is one of my favorite parts of what we're starting to do now. I think it is for you, too. It's like,
definitely.
It's cool. It's different. It's out of the box. We're finally just creating new content and getting things out there. So I'm excited for that. And, yeah, so we'll watch for the Monday after the event to make sure we can still record. And our plan is to come out and record every single Monday, to do a Facebook Live with questions and answers every single Monday on business, on sales, on personal development, NLP, public speaking, all the things that we cover in what we do and what I do as a business owner, and what you as a purpose-driven entrepreneur actually care about, you know, the things that you're probably into as well. So that's the whole point of this podcast is whatever you're into, I'm probably into, and we're going to be talking to those things. So let's get this open out of the way. We are going to be getting today into an interesting topic. I just got a pink slip in the mail. Now, I don't know if you, when you think about pink slips, Jeremy, what do you think about?
Car, you own it.
Car, right?
Yeah.
Now, for me, when I said, it's funny because we call it the pink slip for ownership, but it was like in the 80s and 90s especially, when you get your pink slip, that's usually when the company lays off everyone and fires you. Have you ever heard that?
No.
Okay, right. So, and you're 29?
23.
23, I'm kidding. I know how old you are. But I found that fascinating. It's funny because I said, oh, I got a pink slip, right? But I remember working in the mortgage business like 18 and hearing my friends go, oh my gosh, first mortgage is closing down and everybody got their pink slips. And I remember one company, they had the door chained up. The door was locked. And everyone came to work on a Monday and someone was standing outside with a big pile of pink slips going, here's your layoff papers. And man, it's just kind of crazy how business ebbs and flows. But we're not talking about laying off pink slips today. We are talking about vehicle pink slips. That's what we call it in California, at least, because the DMV title paperwork there's a pink hue in it, apparently. So we call it pink slips. So I got a title in the mail today, or not today, it was a few weeks ago. And I remember just thinking, man, this was pretty cool. There's there's always a good feeling. And maybe it's ever since we were a kid, or, you know, or maybe like for me, like my parents, you know, like always dreamed of owning their own car, that kind of thing. And if you work hard and you pay off something, you pay off debt, you finally like get the title in the mail in your own name. And I remember thinking, that's so cool. And then it struck me, that's our third pink slip. So we have three vehicles. I got my motorcycle, I got a Victory Highball, which I love. Please don't let me know that Victory's closing down, they're going out of business. I know that, right? Not happy about it. But I still love the bike, so I'm gonna keep it. But you know, like I got my Victory Highball, my wife has a Prius, and then I got a Jeep Cherokee. And this podcast is gonna be really about how do we manage the resources in our life. And is it good, right, to have something that's older and paid off? Or is it good to enjoy the luxury of you make a lot of money, so you know what, you can enjoy yourself and you can spend some, and how much should you spend until you're being extravagant? And is there a, you know what I mean, like, or is there a middle road? Like, well, I think as business owners, so many of us, we don't really know what to do. So instead, we do what we're programmed to do, right? So this whole episode is going to be all about how to reprogram that and really where you want it to be. And we're going to talk about how not to rob from the golden goose, which is your business, not to treat your business like a piggy bank, but also how to live the lifestyle as an entrepreneur that you probably actually want to live, the whole reason why we got into business in the first place. So all that and more in the episode. I guess without any further ado, should we get into it? Jeremy, anything else?
No, it's perfect.
Nothing else on Dodgers?
No, super excited.
That's it? All right, cool. Let's get into it. All right, so in the open of the show, I said that I got my third pink slip, my third title in the mail, and it was a really exciting thing, right? So I actually filed away in our little file box, my wife and I at home. We put, you know, we have all our DMV paperwork, and you know what's funny is I'm not that person. Like, I'm the furthest person from organized usually when it comes to that sort of thing. I've always wanted to. I always try to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I got my little filing cabinet, but I tend not to, like, to stay on top of it, right? I got bank receipts, but I don't always stay on top of it. I've always been fighting my own personality. I don't know if you can relate to that if you're listening, but like I've always been fighting that. And so at any rate, so I've gotten better and better at it. My wife tempers me. She's the organized one. I'm the I don't hear me right, like the motivated, like let's move, let's do it, let's come up with an idea and do it today. And she's like, hang on, let's plan it out, let's make sure it's right. So we temper each other that way, right? So I'll get her sometimes moving faster. She'll get me slowing down. And I think they're both really positive and really needed. But when they go on their own, it can be a little chaotic and a little dangerous. So I got to thinking and I realized, man, so our business, right, is I'm a public speaker. We run trainings, leadership trainings, workshops, seminars. I'm going out to speak in front of big crowds. Like we're always, you know, like here's what happens. I roll up to a hotel and I'm dressed somewhat nice, right? In the podcast, I got a t-shirt, shorts. Like, you know, I don't think there's a dress code here. So like, I don't have a dress code in my office. So what do I care? But when I go out to speak on stage and people see me for the very first time, hey, pretty often I'm going to wear, you know, something, a button down shirt, a vest, a jacket, whatever. But what's funny is when I started out in the business, I realized that all of the first impressions are always important. So I'd hate to drive up like in an older car because I couldn't afford better, right? Because I'm like a lot of life coaches, I was pretty broke. So I'm driving up and I got an old car and I park it in the back of the hotel where I don't want to be seen. Don't want to go to valet, for God's sakes. What if one of the other speakers comes out, right? They put in their valet ticket, their Maserati comes up, the next person's BMW comes up, and then my like, you know, Geo Metro with rust stuff comes up. And I'm like, oh man. So here's kind of what I realized. All this went through my mind as my story, right? So I realized I started off as a coach and as a speaker, not making much money, not doing well. So I had like the older cars. Then I started doing well. And then I was like, oh, I can kind of get whatever I want. And I remember, it's funny, I had in 2010, I had a nice Range Rover Sport, Rangy, we called him. And I don't know why my car's a him, so, you know, shoot me. But, you know, we love Rangy. He was cool. He seemed like kind of like a puppy, you know. It was our dog. It was awesome. And I loved having a Range Rover. And I realized that as I was beginning to succeed financially and beginning to make the business work, what happened is I started kind of now I was backfilling. I was buying things that seemed appropriate for how much I was making or, right, or success. So now it was like, man, I was proud, right? So I'll be honest, man, I loved it. I know you're probably listening to this thinking, what do we care? Nobody cares. You know, I don't care what people think about me. But the truth is, I think a lot of humans, it still runs through our mind. And I'm still that kid in high school that didn't have any friends. I'm still that, you know what I mean? Like, I'm still that guy who's trying to figure out if I fit in. And even though I'm married, it's like there's still that reptile brain of like, oh, like, am I going to be successful as a man and all that sort of thing. So I felt myself, you know, when I'm driving the Range Rover, I get out at Starbucks or get out at the grocery store and I notice who looks at me. And it's like so stupid. But I mean, isn't that a thing people do, right? And nowadays it's funny. I'll come to a stop sign. I see some, you know, someone that's under 30 probably driving a Lamborghini. And you can tell. You can just tell from his face and where he looks around that his entire world is consumed by who's watching me, right? Mm-hmm. Who saw me get out of my Lamborghini? Who saw me drive my Lamborghini? Who thinks I'm cool because I have a Lamborghini? Who heard the sound and look and all that kind of thing, right? People do that. And I think most of us can look at someone that's really consumed by it and go, oh, come on, what a dork, you know? But then equally, we look at the other people. See, there's another side of the spectrum. There's that the entrepreneur or the business owner who doesn't believe they can ever have anything. And they're living in total lack and poverty mindset, right? They're miserly with their money and they never spend anything. And you're thinking, dude, like, wake up. You know, I think I shared this at a seminar or maybe it was on the podcast. I think it was on the seminar. My grandma, my dad's mom, when she finally passed away, she died 10 years after my grandpa did. And, you know, it was a hard life. And they grew up, you know, as a kid in the 30s through the Great Depression. And by the time she finally passed away, I remember, you know, in her last couple years, she would still always to that last moment say like, oh, there's just not enough. She'd say things like, well, no, it's just, you know, we just can't afford to do that. And it was just such an ingrained belief that she'd never change it, right? So today we're talking about, is that a belief? Is it limiting? Is it not? What should you do? What shouldn't you do? Is it dumb to spend extravagantly? Is it dumb to save every penny and never spend? Should you be in the middle? Is that the right answer? Because, right, like, just because an extreme is extreme doesn't mean it's bad. Doesn't mean that you should be in the middle, right? So at any rate, it was crazy because my grandma passed and we, you know, settled the estate and everything. I won't say exactly what happened, but there was over $1 million in actual, like, liquid money. It was over $1 million in the estate. And this woman into her 80s, her last breath was, I can't afford it. And she never spent the money that she had because she had such the mindset of, we can never spend this. So that gets me thinking, right? Because I see the Lamborghini guy, and then I see my grandma, and I go, what's the right thing, right? It's fascinating. You know, I have friends that are really into, hey, get into as much debt as you can as a business owner, because there's a lot of good debt out there, and you should make a ton of money, and you'll spend money, but you'll make even more, and that's just what you spiral up. That's what you do. But then I have other friends who subscribe to, like, Dave Ramsey and people like that, who are, you know, the financial coaches, who say, hey, you shouldn't have a penny of debt. So scrimp and claw and save, sell your expensive car and buy beaters, eat top ramen for 2 years, whatever it takes. Just do that until you're finally out of debt, and then you can save money, and then eventually. Here's the interesting thing, right? So like I said, when I had the Range Rover in 2010, I did love it. I enjoyed having a new car. I enjoyed having a really nice expensive car. A few years before that, I had cheap cars because I didn't make any money. Yet before that, I was in the mortgage and real estate business, and I made a lot of money. And I remember buying, like, you know, like a new E500, a Mercedes. It was like an $80,000 car. I leased it. I still remember, it was $1,086 a month. I put zero down, which I thought was really cool. I did a 3-year lease. It was like 10 or 12,000 miles a year. So I'm paying $1,100 to rent this brand new car. And some people thought, wow, how cool. You must be really rich. The truth is, I spent my business money on it. See, and this is where we're going to get into the business piggy bank thing. All right. Do I keep touching you under the table?
Dude,
I think I do. Yeah, let me switch my leg. I keep footsieing Jeremy. So you don't mind that? And I keep looking over. I'm like, did I hit the table or did I hit your foot?
Keep, like, moving.
And you're just stone cold. Just like,
that's cool. No, I keep moving.
If you want to touch my feet, you can.
So not
won't
it.
Say a
so
thing. All right. So if you're not watching this on video, I apologize. You have no idea what's happening here. But we're sitting across from each other on a table, and we both got our legs crossed the wrong way. Anyway, we'll fix that for podcast episode 3. The point of the story is, where were we? About cars? right? Okay, so I get this new car. I get the new Mercedes, and then I went to cheap cars, and then I got the Range Rover. And if I'm honest, I look back and I remember the Mercedes. I was excited to get it because it was like, oh yeah. And I bought a lot of new cars over time. I'd made a lot of money early on in real estate, and I made some good investments, and I had no problem spending what I made, right? Because I didn't grow up with a lot. We weren't dirt poor, but you know, we didn't have a lot. So when I started making money, I started spending it. And that's the number one pattern that I think most entrepreneurs start with is I didn't make a lot. Now I'm successful, so I'm going to enjoy it, right? And you see that in the celebrity world all the time, right? They're going to enjoy it. They're going to spend their money. You know, I was just looking up articles here in Men's Health. That was great. Some of the greatest celebrity spends, people that can spend money and they make it. Jay-Z spent $250,000 on champagne in Miami in 2011. That was cool. He tipped the waiters $50,000, right? Which is appropriate. That's 20%.
There you go.
It's just like, wow, like $250,000. Nick Cage bought a $276,000 dinosaur skull, legit dinosaur skull. Apparently, he outbid Leonardo DiCaprio. Wow. Yeah, they're both dino enthusiasts. So, but you spend a lot of money. Here's my favorite. Lady Gaga spent $50,000 on a ghost detecting machine. She's really into ghosts, and she wanted to know where they were at all times, and she was willing to pay for the electromagnetic field meter that all the ghost hunters use. So the average person might look at this tiny little, it's about this big, like a tiny little size of like a wallet, right? The electromagnetic ghost meter. And you might think, do I really need to drop $50,000 on that? But what most people do, the more money they make decisions on what to buy based on a percentage of their worth or a percentage of the money in the bank or a percentage of their income. Make sense, right? So you go, hey, if I make $100,000 a year, it's kind of a big deal to buy something for $10,000. But if I make $1 million a year, it's kind of a big deal to buy something for $100,000. Well, what about when you start making $10 million a year, $50 million a year? Then all of a sudden you're buying a purse for $500,000. Who cares? There was this is funny. Bono, right from U2. Bono had forgotten his favorite hat, and he left it in London. He forgot it on tour when he landed somewhere else. So he paid British Airways. He had the hat flown out to him. So he bought this is the best part, though. He didn't get it shipped. He needed it today. So he got the hat on the next first-class ticket. He bought a first-class ticket for his hat. I imagine the hat's, like, sitting in the seat, right? Just belted in. And he paid, like, $700 or something for the first-class ticket. So all said and done with taxis and with tips and with all the stuff to get the hat from London to where he was on the first-class ticket, $1,500. You and I might consider that to be extravagant. If you forgot your hat, what do you do on a trip? Shoot, I don't have my hat. Or let me go to the store and buy a new hat, right? So at any rate, it's like, and I'm not, whatever, I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying, like, it's interesting that on one side, you see that it's extravagant, but clearly on the other side, it's like, look, it's a drop in the bucket. How much does Bono make? How much does he have in the bank? 50, to him, it might be closer to me or you going, hey, should I spend $15 to have my hat flown out here, right? So, but that's a danger that I think as a business owner we can get into is we can look at our expenses based on just a percentage of what we make, and we can justify paying way more than we need to for things. So here's what I want to talk about today is sort of how, again, how to manage that. I think let me finish the car story. So yeah, this is early on in the podcast life. I'm going to work out kind of jumping around on topics. The idea is this is all live to tape. So you're going to hear conversations and you're just going to hear kind of what's on our brains. You're going to hear Jeremy chime in.
Hello.
Just like that, right? On. Yeah. And we're just going to do this thing. So hopefully you have fun with us. If we're annoying to you, man, you're in for a very, very long podcast because this is kind of how I am on stage. This is how we're going to be. So I went for the Range Rover, and I had a major epiphany a couple years ago. My wife and I sat down. We realized, for me, I have a strong spiritual belief that everything I have came from God. And because I believe that, I also believe we're supposed to steward it well. And that just means we're going to take care of it. Stewarding is another way to say taking care of something that doesn't belong to you. So when I looked at money and assets as things that didn't belong to me, but they instead belonged to the God I believe in, I thought, well, that's pretty cool. How would I treat these things then? Would I spend $8,000 on a golden shower curtain like the Enron guys? Or, you know, would I ship my hat out for $1,500? I don't know. So again, I'm not judging Bono. It's like, great, like that's an important hat. But I realized I don't think that was the way I wanted to make decisions. So what I started doing a couple years ago is we made the decision to be really smart with money. Excuse me, and I don't mean that I make every choice perfectly. But I think smart as a value was better to me than being miserly or being extravagant, right? Because on one side of the dial, you have extravagant. I make a lot of money, I'll spend whatever I want. On the other side, you have kind of the miserly, like my grandma who like, oh, we don't have enough, or the poverty mindset. But when I decided to have a value of intelligent or smart choices, what happens is I'll pay more for a rental car from Hertz because their customer service is way better, because they got Gold Club and you can show up and they literally have the keys in the car already. Your name's on the board. You walk right out to the right slot. You get in, you drive away, you show them the thing at the gate and you're gone. So since I travel and fly a lot, man, that makes a big difference. So if a rental car might cost me $80 in one place and it's 100 at Hertz, I'm going Hertz. It's 110, I'm going to Hertz. But I just booked something this morning. For 3 days, it was going to be $160 for most of the other companies. Hertz was $560. So what I did is I looked at that and went, ah, Hertz will be a better experience. It'll be faster. It'll be easier. It'll rack up more points and all that, right? But is it worth $400 more? Is it worth like four times the amount? I just had to say, no, I guess it's not. I'll go to Thrifty this time, you know? Right. And I hate Thrifty, but, you know, sorry if you love Thrifty, but you know, when you get to the airport, there's usually like 9 people waiting in line at Thrifty and like one person or nobody at Hertz and people walk through. So, you know, it's things like that where it's like, well, I'll spend the extra money when it's smarter, when it makes sense. For flight, same thing. I'll spend a little more to maybe make it direct or not too early or not too late, et cetera, right? But, oh, hey, buddy. We're just doing a podcast. You want to come in here? Yeah, that's my son's coming in the office. Come on in. Yeah, come in. What's going on? You want to stay on the ground? You wish you're about your iPad? I'm sorry, is Max playing with his? Why don't you come sit with him for a minute? We're going to wrap this up in about 15 minutes or so. We'll be done with the podcast, and I'll come out and play, okay? Okay? All right, can you shut the door all the way? I was wondering, I thought I heard a knock. Yeah. Thank you, son. I love you. Awesome. So that's one of the freedoms of being an entrepreneur is you get to bring your kids into work. So that's Valiant. He's 6.5 as of last month. No, this month. Nice. The half is a big deal for him because it is. I remember being 5.5. It was a big deal to me. So anyway, and hopefully you're going to see more of that stuff too. I definitely, I don't want to ever stop the tape. So let's roll. So point was making smart decisions. If I'm doing a flight and it's $50 more and I get to fly direct or I get to not leave at 6 a.m. or what, you know, it's like, I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'll bite the bullet and go, well, okay, I'll take the extra connection because it's just too much difference. So I like to try to look at things, financial decisions through the lens of intelligence and value, right? Yep. Yeah, it's a good bang for the buck, so to speak. So that brings me to the point of this is we decided to not be extravagant in our lifestyle. And as the business owner, what I used to do is I used to take as much money as I wanted, right? So when the business made money, I go, oh, good, that means I made money. And so many solopreneurs, that is the attitude. And I see it all the time, right? If you have no one on the team, if it's just you, hey, I sold a $5,000 package or a client, so what does that mean? It feels like I just made $5,000. Truth is, you didn't. Your business did, and you sold it. So we'll spend another podcast. We'll talk about specifically like actually how to divvy up a business budget. And this, again, just from my perspective, I think, you know, we've done pretty well with everything, right? With sales and with money and with good customers and with what we're, you know, building the business. But we'll spend a whole episode talking about how to build a business budget and the fact that you're not the most important one. But for right now, I just want you to realize that if you're the owner, you are not the most important expense in your business. I mean, if you take, I don't know, $100,000 a year and your business only makes $120,000, how absurd is that, right? Like what company that makes, I don't know, $100 million a year is gonna pay is going to pay their top CEO $90 million a year, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense. But we still, we justify doing that. We kind of rob from the business piggy bank. So just consider, where do you want to live on the spectrum? Do you want to be on the miserly side? Do you want to be in the intelligent side? Do you want to, you know, making good value choices? Or do you want to be in the extravagant side? I think we can always justify any of them. You know, I like to look at good models of success. I'll look at someone like Warren Buffett. Buffett's awesome, right? He's, you know, you were just looking this up. He still lives in Omaha, Nebraska. He still lives in his home he bought in 1958 for $31,500, which was a lot of money at the time. But he was also a good investor. He knew that it would only go up. And now I don't know what it's worth. It's probably worth a little more than that. But probably not that much more. It's Omaha, Nebraska, right?
Right.
I mean, maybe a couple hundred grand. See if you can find out how much Buffett's home was worth now. I'm sure it's public somewhere. But, right, like, he didn't say, oh, now that I'm a multi-billionaire, I'm going to go live in this extravagant mansion. There's something really reassuring when one of the wealthiest men in the world decides that he doesn't need to live in a mansion.
Yeah, so if you want to live across the street from Warren Buffett right
there
now,
we go.
It'll be 2.15 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
okay.
Smart investment.
Okay, smart investment.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, so it's not a couple $100,000. So in 1958, 31 grand is a lot of money.
Definitely.
So here's what's interesting. He spent a lot of money, technically. Because it was funny, when I read that, I think people would take that out of context, right? Oh, his house, he spent 30 grand on a house. But in 1958, houses were more like 14,000, 17,000. So if the houses in our neighborhood are 800 to a million, because that's just what it is, we live in Orange County, he at the time is buying like a $2 million place, essentially, right? So he's going to get a nicer place. But even so, think about it. Warren Buffett lives in a $2 million house, not a $15 million house, not a $30 million compound, right? Not like he doesn't have all those things that people do. He lives in a nice home that he kept and took care of for, 50, almost 60 years, right? Mm-hmm. He just got a new car a couple years ago. I was reading that. He's got a Cadillac DDS. He bought a 2006. He had that. And then here's what's great. He just bought a new car in 2014. Mm-hmm. He bought a 2014 new Cadillac. He likes Cadillacs.
Right.
But do the math. Between his 2006 car, 8 years later, which is actually a fairly intelligent time to replace a car, right? Can you make it stretch longer? Yeah. You're going to have more maintenance things. You're going to have to take care of it more. And again, some of you listening are like, well, yeah, that's the smartest thing to do. So you do it. But realize that more things begin to go wrong. So you can easily justify keeping it, right? Because you'll have it paid off, of course, because it's been 8 years, hopefully. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, but then this goes out, then that goes out. And it might be smart, I guess, according to Buffett, that's maybe when you replace it. So he gets a new car, but he doesn't get a new car every couple years. He doesn't have a fleet of 50 cars. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't do those things. But what I love about Buffett is he also doesn't live in lack. He's in a very nice $2 million home. He loves it. He has a 2014 very nice Cadillac. But he doesn't have more than he needs. But he also doesn't sacrifice his comfort and not have anything that he wants. So I hope that kind of makes sense. So the moral of this story is I'm really happy, content where I am. And I feel like, you know what I really feel like is when I show up at a hotel now, I have a 2005 Jeep Grand Cherokee. I got low miles. It's in the 70,000 range. It's paid off. My wife's 2008 Prius is paid off. Held the bike 2012 Victory, just got that, the last one in, paid off. So I realize I have three vehicles that are paid off, and I'm not bragging, because for goodness sakes, it's a 2005 dirty Jeep chair, you know, like, there's nothing to brag about it. But it's an exciting thing, because it made me feel like, wow, I think I actually accomplished something. This is really cool. I also didn't feel the itch to go get something new, and that was a hard thing to fight. Right? Because I'm like, whoa, I don't have any debt now. I don't have any car payments. We should get a car payment. What if you didn't, right? What if you actually paid off your car and then you kept your car? Just consider, right? Kick it around. Like, what if you did that? What could we do in our expenses to not pay as much as we wanted to? What if we cut our expenses down a little bit in the places that don't really hurt you, you know? And I just think that makes a lot of sense. With that said, we're not going to keep three paid off cars forever, right? already, like literally within the week, we did. My wife and I were looking at the Prius. We go, well, let's see, it's 2008. As I'm recording this, it's 2017. So the car came out right about 10 years ago, right? Because the 8s came out end of 2007. So we're right at 10 years old. And Priuses at 10 years or so, the battery starts to be iffy maybe. 135,000 miles. I realize it could go on forever, right? Mm-hmm. But we're starting to think, well, we either keep it long-term and we fix a few things, or maybe it is smart that we go ahead and sell that and then we get something new and we kind of do that. But it'll be a thing. We're like Buffett, right? We'll probably get a new car every 8 to 10 years. And hopefully I'll keep the Jeep. And it just, it, to me, it just makes sense. And here's the best part. Like I said, when I show up in the hotel with my paid off Jeep, I don't feel embarrassed. You can either feel good driving the Lamborghini or you can feel better having money in the bank. And I know that I'm not the wealthiest person in the world, but I know that when it comes to people in the coaching space and the training space, we're doing pretty well. And I know that I go into a hotel, I'm not going to tell anyone how much money I have in the bank, but I'm really grateful that we have some money in the bank. And my old lifestyle, I had a lot less money in the bank, but I had a lot nicer of a car, right? So the question is, what's more important to me right now? And I'd much rather, you know, I want to be the, you know, the anonymous wealthy person who nobody assumes because they don't have to. See, the thing is, when you see someone who's a little flashier, usually there's something tied in with self-esteem. There's something tied in with, I want people to see me a certain way, you know? And I guess to me, I think it comes down to if you don't see yourself as valuable as you really are, right? Whatever your beliefs are with that, like, you know, my spiritual belief tells me that that I'm made whole, that I was chosen, I was created by God, and I love that, right? So because I know that, that's how I approach it personally. And because I know that, I don't need anything to prove that I'm good enough. I don't need someone to tell me I'm good enough. I don't need to have a nice car to know that I'm finally, you know, good. I don't need to live in the best house or whatever. You know, we live in a medium-sized house. I got a jacuzzi in the backyard because I really like jacuzzis. But like, it's not a mansion, you know? I visited a buddy's house just the other day and it was like walking to a castle. It was cool. I'm not going to lie. It was cool. He's got a rock water slide in the backyard. I mean, like, legit. You know, over on the golf course, just really, really gorgeous place. He's got knights of armor, like, in the hallways. Like, it feels like you're in this amazing, huge compound of a place. And they love it. And I see the merit in it. It's like, that's cool. And all of it, it depends on what values you have. So mark this down, too. And, Jeremy, make a note. We're going to do another podcast episode just on values. This is something that comes from the NLP or neuro-linguistic programming space, where we talk about values are those things that are important to us. Values tell you how you're going to spend your time and spend your money. And then also they tell you how you're going to feel about them afterwards, right? So if you value like luxury or you value high-end experiences, you got no problem spending maybe, I don't know, $5,000 a day on a resort to stay in. But if you value like economy or you value making your dollar stretch, let's say, then you're not going to feel good about that, right? So the question of is it smart or not, or what's the right thing to do, or where should you live, right? Should you live in the castle or the Omaha house? It only comes down to what your values are individually. And your values as an entrepreneur will drive your business. It'll drive your personality. It'll drive your family. It'll drive everything. So stay tuned for one of those. We'll talk about values and how those work and what's important to you. So I guess in conclusion, I just want to say, man, I hope this blesses you and I hope you got something out of this. The entire purpose is understanding that sometimes it can be really, really good to pay stuff off, to be content with where you are, you know, to be content with what you have. And if I felt terrible about it, I'd have to address that, you know. But buying a new car, if I feel bad about having an old car and then I buy a new car, that's not going to fix the problem, right? I'll feel better in the moment. I'm excited because of my shiny object, but it didn't actually fix why I don't feel content with it, right? Mm-hmm. I much prefer today making smart choices. I much prefer today having more money in the bank and having less expenses. But I also will go out of my way when I think the value's there to spend money, to have fun. I mean, right, like case in point, remember when we went to Catalina? And it was just it was a cool time. We took the team over to Catalina for the day, to the island off the coast of California, and it was like, well, how should we do this? It was like, well, so we chartered a private helicopter, we flew over to the island, we ziplined, we did Jeep tour or Hummer tours, we like we cruised around, we ate great, we drank great, we had an awesome day, took the boat back, you know, for the night, and we just. So again, you might say, well, when you do a day trip like that, how can you do it? Well, we could have done it totally budget. We could have hired a private Learjet, I suppose. I don't know. There's a lot of things we could have done that we could have spent a ton more. But I looked at it as like, man, instead of buying boat tickets for everybody, if we rented the helicopter, it's this much more. But I think the value is that much more, right? The experience is so much more. So I'm always, always, always looking at how can we get the best experience. How can we get the most value out of when we do need to spend money on something? Let's do it and let's do it well. But don't spend money just for the sake of spending money. Be okay with getting your worth from who you are, from what you do in the world, from just what you actually know, right? The real truth. Don't get your worth because you drive a Lambo or whatever. So with that, I'm signing off. Podcast episode number 2 in the bag. Thanks a lot. All right, guys, I want to thank you for listening to the podcast, for downloading, streaming, whatever you did with this. I hope you got value out of it. I hope it made you think. The purpose of this whole podcast is to get you to think, to get you to learn something new, to start a good conversation that's going to impact your life and your business. So I just want you to consider the principle of owning the pink slip, right, as a metaphor, not just as your actual car. Where does that apply? And where do you see it in the world? You know, where in your world have you seen people living on one side or the other of the spectrum and maybe missing the mark a little bit, right? And where have you seen yourself doing it? So just kind of consider that and kick it around for the week, and we'll get back at you next week. Let me know what you think. Send us some feedback. If you have feedback on the episode, on us, on playing footsie under the table, whatever you want to give me feedback on, I would love it. You can find us on social media. Give me feedback. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Matt Browning. So please do that. Let me know what you think. Also, you can find us. Where can we find us, Jeremy?
You can find us at iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere that hosts podcasts. Please, if you do enjoy this, definitely like, subscribe, and definitely leave us a review. Let us know how you enjoyed it and maybe even come up with some topics for future podcasts.
Yeah, I would love that. Absolutely. So find us on the reviews, especially the reviews help a ton. So if you know me, or even if you don't and you like this, we sure appreciate that. And definitely, definitely on social media, give us some podcast topic ideas. Anything you want. Also, every Monday live, we're going to be doing live Q&A. As soon as we finish recording this, we're going to go live on Facebook. So put in your questions, and we will answer them on Mondays. All about life, business, for the purpose-driven entrepreneur. All right. Until next time, be awesome. See ya.